Coming up on TMS, Pot on the Pot.
The sounds of construction.
Alice Cooper likes Axl Rose.
Aw, all you can eat. Garbage.
In-flight nipple.
No more toys.
More like in-flight nipple. There we go. Build It with Bill.
Tree, duty, and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
I found the man his movie.
Yes, and you're still batting 500.
How so?
You remember Listen, Think, Act?
Right. Peter Sellers' Comedy Movies for Rent.
Good.
Ladies, we heard you. This is The Morning Stream.
You know, I forgot to play this at the end of the thing.
It's like somebody peed in a pineapple.
Yeah, I forgot to play that. Darn it.
Kind of, you can't spell pineapple without P.
What kind of soundboard master do I think I am?
Three of them even.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, it's Brian Ibbett over there, Scott Johnson over here, and this is TMS. It's The Morning Stream.
That's right.
It's Tuesday, the 19th of April, 2016.
I'm loving those clips, by the way, of the Blockbuster video.
Oh, they're amazing.
Can I just say how much I'm enjoying those?
They're great. They're really good. I have more. So sit tight and enjoy the future, because there's more to come. From the fantastic world of how to be a better dude in a blue shirt.
Right.
At Blockbuster. You know, there's still a Blockbuster out there somewhere. Somebody
no,
told
there
me.
Can't be.
Somebody told me, and somebody teated me. Someone gave me their teat. No, someone tweeted me and said, hey, out here in whatever small town Oklahoma, there's still a Blockbuster with the name on it still running. And I said, proof, I need pictures or I don't believe you. And I have yet to hear back from them. So I don't know if it really exists. But if they do exist, do you suppose it's the same? You walk in there and there's a lot of candy to try to buy at the counter. And
Remember like all the, it's the same crappy candy that you can get at movie theaters.
Yep.
Basically the big empty box with a little bag of Cabbage Patch Kids or whatever, the Sour Patch Kids in there.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was always it was always right up there where you paid as you left.
Yes.
Maybe
I could use some Milk Duds.
Or found out you had a late fee from hell or whatever. And
yes, here we go. According to consumerist.com, mm-hmm. there are still locations. There are still Blockbuster video locations.
Now, I wonder if they were. Are those like bought out from the franchise? Because Blockbuster itself, I think, is done. I think
yeah,
they're gone.
It's it looks like
it's like some dude's like, I'm gonna keep mine. It's all
it looks like clearance sales. So basically, in El Paso,
mm-hmm.
I'm just looking, it's really a poorly written article. Mm. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Yeah. Texas and Alaska still have Blockbuster locations. Doesn't say how many. Consumerist really sucked at writing this article, let me just say.
That was four reallys before you got to the suck.
It was really, really 50. Because you try and find any information about this.
Yeah.
And usually you can kind of scan an article and pick out the meat, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not in this consumerist article.
No. Well,
which was written just like 2 weeks ago. Like this is written by Chris Moran.
Mm.
And apparently, you know, trying to figure out how many Blockbusters there still are. Wouldn't you think you'd lead with that or at least have it prominently?
Chris Moran, high school sophomore, attempts to write an article for The Consumerist.
Exactly.
Fantastic.
No, it's crap. So apparently there are still 50 remaining Blockbuster franchisees, and I'm guessing...
But are they stocked with, like, all the latest releases and things?
It can't be, right? I mean, you can't...
Not the way it used to be.
I would guess that they're probably just still selling crap.
Yeah, they'd have to be, because if I walked in there and didn't see it just wall-to-wall... copies of what's new out. I don't know, the Good Dinosaur.
Wall-to-wall copies of Unbroken.
Yeah, or whatever the hot new deal is, then you're not a real Blockbuster. What
the
are
Danish
you
Danish girl. Right.
Oh, there's something freaky about a Blockbuster in 2016, and I can't figure out why. And you know what it is? I'm watching those training videos, and I'm reminded that it was just chock full of VHS tapes. Just miles of the stuff. It was like a public library of books, except they're all VHS tapes. And the cost that represents, the floor space that represents, and then thinking about what you do now. You have two things you do now. You either have a screen on your computer with way more selection and no stock space needed. It's just a computer.
Right.
It's just right there. And then the other alternative is is Redbox, which is like this red phone book or phone machine looking deal out in the middle of the, or out in front of the gas station. Mm-hmm. That's tiny and somehow has a bunch of discs in it. Like, that's what it's all reducted to. You don't.
Right. There that's is, all you need. Yeah. You don't need boxes and boxes and, oh, hey, we have a few movie posters we can sell you or.
Yeah. It's crazy to me.
I need to replace that ginormous store with something the size of a color printer about 10 years ago.
Right.
20 years ago.
Right. Nice stripes from the inkjet and all that.
Right. Yes.
Anyway, good times. All right. I have an email I need to start the show off with today.
Got
somebody taking a little issue with me.
Oh, good. All right.
Sounds good. Here's my cough switch, mate. A little morning cough there. Don't worry about it. I'm fine. Everyone's fine.
It's funny, you know, if you're going to use the cough switch to cover up the cough, I don't think you need to tell us before and after.
Well, the problem was you're going to have this pause and nobody would know where I went is the only problem. But you're right. You're right.
Good point. All right. Okay.
So here's the deal. I get this email with the subject line, pot on the pot.
Okay.
All right. And this does not have a person's name. Their email has a bunch of exclamation points as the name. There's
really?
No actual name, yeah.
So they really went anonymous on this.
I guess so, and I don't think that they're that mad at all, but they said this. He says, I gotta give you shit for this, he says. You're really gonna complain to the guy's boss because you were briefly minorly inconvenienced by a smell. He's talking about the pot smoker in the toilet.
Right, right. He's saying minorly.
Yeah. He says, have you ever been on a construction site? People smoke and drink all the time, and you might too if you worked at a shitty manual labor job that doesn't pay enough. I guarantee pot smoking Javier's boss only cares insofar that white suburban mildly racist Utah dad is on his case about it.
White suburban mildly racist Utah dad. What's his power?
I think it's all in the name.
It's all in the name.
Anyway, it made me laugh, and I told him I was going to read it because I think it's funny. So, thank you. I don't know why people. Why is the mildly racist? Why do I get that?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, look, I know I like to mess around with stereotypes and have a little fun here and there, but I don't know that makes me mildly racist.
It's because when you walk into a Mexican food restaurant, you have that music playing in your head.
Every time. Yep. It was in my head the entire time I was in Cancun. There was no getting around it. No, but racist is one thing.
Right. I wouldn't think that would be racist. Hearing the Mexican hat dance when you walk into a Mexican restaurant, I wouldn't consider to be racist.
Yeah, because half the time the restaurant's playing the music that I'm talking about. You know, like it's not. One of these days we're going to have a whole episode on what is the word racist has been stretched so thin to mean as much as possible. Racist used to mean you didn't like other races. You were racist and thought yours was better. I don't feel that way at all.
Right.
I don't think I'm better at anything. In fact, I think I'm a lot worse at some stuff, so I'm reverse racist in a lot of ways. So anyway, well, that's a discussion for a different day. So speaking of that construction,
yeah,
it's still going on full bore. These guys have some deadline, I'm telling you. They're here earlier. They're here later. They skip lunches. Like, they're cranking.
Excellent.
I guess. But here's what I hear. I go outside yesterday at lunch to hang with the dog a little bit, spend a little time just chilling, get a little sun on my face before I had my next big thing. Mondays are busy, Brian, around the Frog Pants Studios here.
Mm-hmm.
So I went outside and here's what I heard. See if you can hear these sounds. Here you go. This is in my backyard.
Nice.
Now, the best part's coming up. Listen real carefully and you're going to hear what this guy, the emailer, refers to as pot-smoking Javier. You're going to hear him sing. So check this out. Can you hear it?
Yep.
Now, I don't know what he's singing, but he's back there going, or something, some song. And then in the meantime, you got all this going on. But what you don't hear in that audio is you don't hear these. They have these saws that were going all morning.
Oh my god!
I got there too late to catch those. But anyway, it's fine. It's fine. They don't do it until we're up. We're all up at 6 anyway, so it doesn't matter. About 6:30, they kick in and start doing it, and then it's fine. If I was a night shift worker, I'd have something to complain about.
Right.
But I'm not a night shift worker.
Doesn't matter. You're not trying to get some sleep in the morning. You're not trying to make up for your graveyard that you pulled at the Mr. Donut.
No. Although, Mr. Donut. Is that a real place? That sounds
great.
Yeah,
it used to be. I don't know if there's still any Mr. Donut locations.
Yeah, I wonder.
That's, you know,
look that
that's something you can't replace with a red box.
I agree.
Right there.
I agree. That's some tight stuff. Can't change that. No, you can't.
Yeehaw, I'm feeling good today, and I can't even identify why.
Time to stump Daryl. Daryl Skeels on the phone, ready to be stumped. Daryl, how's it going?
Oh, it's good, and it's early.
It is early. It's not, well, I mean, this is like on time.
Well, yeah.
Usually whatever. We go a little long in the day, or in the morning, but, you know, it's jury day. We can't be squandering the time we have. We know it's going to get spent
That's
later.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
There's no way
we have to make
it.
Room. Make room for jury.
That's right. Daryl Skeels is on the phone. This is Stump Daryl, and it's brought to you by...
It's brought to you by Mr. Donut. No, it's not. Are you in the Shadowrun tabletop RPG? Are you into it? Then check out Complex Action, a YouTube channel that creates weekly content about one of the oldest and most well-known cyberpunk RPGs around. Rule explanations, interviews, and general Shadowrun geekery. We're kicking off a Patreon drive to ramp up support to get you guys some better and more frequent content. So, if you're sitting around wondering if it's too early to get a fish sandwich, then head on over to youtube.com/complexaction. And if you like what you see, consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/complexaction and help us reach our goals.
That sounds good to me. If you'd like to participate in today's show, actually, we had a caller and it hung up too quick for me to answer it. So next one gets in, 801-895-4724. That'll let you participate in today's conversation and contest. Daryl, I was going to ask you something about something you said yesterday. Gosh dang it. Oh, no, I know what it was. In the case you didn't hear it this morning, I wanted to make sure you heard this. Check this out. Wait, where'd it go? Here we go.
It's like somebody peed in a pineapple.
It's one of my favorite things you've ever said. Good work on that. That cracks me up.
So, Daryl, I have a question for you, too.
Go for it.
Oh, aside from Star Trek, what would you, because I'm hoping that you would consider Star Trek your favorite science fiction kind of geeky property, geeky franchise. What would be your second favorite?
Futurama, I guess.
Ah.
Interesting. Okay.
That's how they pronounce it up there in Washington.
Futurama. State.
Futurama. It's unlike here where we say Futurama. My kids yelled at me yesterday for saying pop when they think I should say soda.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah.
That's regional.
I know, but I guess...
You can't complain about somebody in your region saying it the way they say it.
The dividing line goes right through their house.
That must be. So. It must be, but I think here it is soda, and I've always said pop, so I am kind of weirdly against the grain, and I don't know why. But speaking of against the grain...
Start calling it sody pop.
Sody pap. Sody pap. You got to pap.
Sody pap.
Yeah, P-A-P. Speaking of pap... Never mind. We have a caller on the line who is going to participate in today's tomfoolery. Who's this?
This is Linky McScott again.
Linky McScott's always up for a challenge. It's good to have you on, man. I'm going to let Brian explain the rules briefly for those at home and for you, and we'll talk about the topic. So, Brian, take it away.
Sure. Well, Linky, if I may call you Linky, we're going to tell you and Daryl the category to a trivia question. You're going to predict whether or not you think Daryl can get a trivia question right based on that category. Daryl will answer the question, and if you predict correctly, you will win a code for Wolf Among Us on Steam. Really cool game from what I hear. I can't wait to play it myself.
Yep.
And today, we're adding any track from the Andrew Allen Music Library, including the brand new available on digital. It's only been available on physical media. As of yesterday, available on digital, Secret Identity. All those great superhero songs now available digitally.
Nice. That's three you can choose from now. That's amazing.
Right. Four you can choose from.
Four,
Star Wars, Star Trek, video games, and superheroes.
Oh my gosh. Did I do the cover for all those? I did.
All four.
We got to do whatever the next one is.
Yep.
This is the tradition. The traduction.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. This year, man.
All right. What is Daryl's subject today?
Today's category is RoboCop 2.
I love this question. This is
RoboCop
be,
2 is your question.
Yeah. We saw this for FilmSac. If anyone heard that episode recently, then you'll probably know the answer to this. I don't know that Daryl will listen to that one or not. But Daryl, you're going to find out. How are you on the RoboCop series? How do you feel about it?
Oh, I can't say yet.
Well,
you
no,
can't I, say how confident. I mean, that
no,
might help
I don't mean
you.
That. I mean, oh,
let,
you
let
mean
Daryl talk? It's fine.
No, you're right. You're right. You're right. I didn't think
I'm
about
let
that.
Let you finish, Daryl.
Yeah, I was looking for like, oh, I kind of like it, but then I thought, and then, but you're right. This could lead him down a path.
All
so
right,
let's
okay.
let's
well,
ask
Linky.
We must not mislead the witness.
No.
Linky McScotts, what do you think, based on what little information you've been given about Daryl's proficiency with Cops of Robo? Robo! Somebody needs to make Drobo Cop now that I say that.
Oh my gosh, he would store so much data. It'd
exactly, yes.
Yeah. Anyway, what do you think, Linky?
Well, and he would have a big
I do
unit.
Like Copper Murphy. but I think he's probably going to get it wrong.
Okay. Right. Well, let's.
No offense, Dale. Nothing but love.
Yeah, all love.
Scott Johnson's
no, I think
quite
I'll get
the
it wrong
unit.
Too.
Well, you listen. If you okay. Well, now you can say how yeah. do you like the series of RoboCop movies?
Have I don't know if I've even seen the second one. I saw the first one.
Oh, Linky, your instincts are good. Instincts McScott should be your new name. Yeah, you. If you haven't seen much of these, then have you seen the first one though? Right?
Yeah, I've seen the first one.
Okay, but you've never probably seen two or three, which
I don't think so.
They're kind of garbage, so you haven't missed much.
Krug in the chat room comes up with a great line from Jobo Cop: "Dead or alive, you're backing up to me."
Nice, nice, well said. All right, Daryl, here's your question. It goes like this: in RoboCop 2. A new drug is sweeping the streets of Detroit. RoboCop and his homies try to stop the drug from destroying the city. What is the name of the drug in this movie? All right, here are your options. A, Neuroin. Neuroin.
Neuroin.
Neuroin.
Like heroin.
Neuroin. B, Slow-Mo. C, Prosium. Or D, Nuke. So that's... Neurian or Neurowin. Can't say that right. Neurowin, Slow-Mo, Prosium, or Nuke.
Well, I think Daryl from that probably could guess which one it's not.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I could just be saying it wrong. Who knows, Daryl? I wouldn't count on anything at this point.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Much a foodie.
We have some taffy left, and I think today's final day of taffy testing. Hammond Chamberlain, mutual
I'm
friend.
Look for a specific flavor this time. So pina colada is white and yellow.
That's what I want to do.
Watermelon is green and pink. Banana is all yellow. Coconut's brown and white. Hawaiian punch is pink and purple. Li Hing Mui is pink.
Wait, give us that last one again.
Li Hing Mui.
Okay. That's pretty awesome.
All right, I think I'm doing pina colada because I just dumped out my entire taffy bag and I did not have a purple and pink. Really bummed.
Oh, man, that's too bad. Did it hit the floor? Oh yeah, must have. Did it go on the floor? All your
no, I just dumped on my desk here. Oh, okay. No, like I intentionally dumped it on my desk.
Oh. I thought it spilled. Daryl's doing Foley work over there again.
So he's actually opening the bag with his phone.
Yeah,
I think I'm gonna do Li Hing Mui because I have no clue what that is.
Okay,
that's the all pink.
Yep,
all pink all the time.
Yep, that's how Li Hing Mui rolls. All right, here we go.
I'm going to do pina colada. Yeah, I'm going to do it just like Scott would, so I'm going to soak it in rum first.
Yeah, let's see if this is familiar to me at all.
So which one are you doing, Scott?
Same one, pina colada.
Oh, well, I'm being different. Okay, well, that's okay.
That's good. That's what we
prefer. Oh, salty. Li Hing Mui is saltier than salty.
Well, really?
Does that mean salt?
That means this.
It's like somebody peed in a pineapple.
That's what it means. Salty pee.
I'm trying to detect some other flavor besides salt, but I can't get one.
You know what, Daryl? I just thought of something.
Salt water taffy is salty.
The that comment you made can work for anything. It's like, oh, I just saw the first episode of Veep, and what'd you think?
It's like somebody peed in a pineapple.
Okay. hey, Daryl, I heard you went out and saw Batman versus Superman.
It's like somebody peed in a pineapple.
See? I got one.
Okay.
Hey, Daryl, what do you think of Carrot Top?
It's like somebody peed in a pineapple.
See? It works every time.
Works for everything.
Yeah. Like, hey, Daryl, I heard you peed in a pineapple.
It's like somebody peed in a pineapple.
All right, great. All right. Enough of that. Let's.
Oh, this is yucky.
No, this is good. You don't like taffy, I don't think.
Well, it's just salt.
Salty taffy. I'd be spinning it out, too.
Well, it is salt water taffy, gentlemen. Right there, Hawaiian
salt. Yeah, but it's not supposed to taste like salt water.
It's supposed to be sweet.
Well, I think it's always supposed to have that kind of combo, doesn't it?
Well, a combo's good, but this is like the combo of salt and salt.
As opposed to the combo of pea and pineapple.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. I mind salty pea, too, but I like it.
Pea and pineapple was better than salt and salt.
Yeah, it's true. All right, well.
Well, I'm going to eat another one.
These are all very, they're all very genuine, but they're genuinely taffy-like. I think maybe you don't like taffy, you just think you might.
No, no. Which one did you guys eat?
I ate a pina colada, and so did Brian.
Yeah, white with yellow swirl.
Yeah.
Well, okay, I got that. If this is salt and salt, then I'm guilty, and I should never eat this again.
All right. You know, if it, that's true, if it's super salty, then maybe it's you.
Hey, hey, Daryl, what was it like on your wedding night?
It's like somebody peed in a pineapple.
See, it works, dude. Oh, that's amazing. I wish you were.
I'm not getting salt on this one.
You're not getting salt?
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah,
oh,
that is a good one.
Right. Oh, I like this one.
Okay. All right. So it's
coconut.
So,
yeah. Coconut and something.
We found
it's really good.
It's got coconut and salt in it.
No, there's no salt at all in this one.
Yeah.
All
right. So we're gonna have to. You know what, Scott? All right. Here's the deal. Tomorrow, you and I are going to try the pink ones, the Li Hing Mui,
and see if it's
and
bad.
And we're going to see if we. How long we can take it.
Okay. Okay. All right. Daryl, I trust you. I believe in you.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on back. Linky, you're still there, right?
Oh, hi, Linky.
He's still there hanging out.
Yeah, I'm still here.
This is my favorite thing what we do on the show is we leave our listeners on.
We just eat up their Skype minutes like we don't give a shit.
That's well, perfect. In their case, it's their phones. So whatever, their batteries are dying. I don't know what's going on. Anyway,
it feels like I just picked up the receiver when somebody else was having a conversation. And I just looked at it.
Well, I feel that way sometimes.
We appreciate your we appreciate your service. As Daryl would say,
it's like somebody peed in a pineapple.
All right, great. Let's get back to the question, Daryl. It is RoboCop 2 and the weird fake drug that they have in the movie, which a lot of movies have. And by the way, these are drugs from some movie, all of these. Mm-hmm. The question is, which one is from RoboCop 2? It's either Neurowin, Slow-Mo, Prosium, or Nuke.
Well, let's see. The first one sounds like, it really sounds corny.
Yeah.
So it could be that, but I think it's even too corny for RoboCop.
All right.
Slow-Mo, that's the name of a hydroplane that used to race here in the 50s.
Oh, really? Okay. Wow. Okay.
Uh-huh.
I would have said that's just slow motion, but you have a better definition of it than I do.
Prosium is just Prozac with yum on the end.
Prozac, yummy.
Oh, but that sounds familiar. Now that I say that. What movie? It's from a movie.
They're all from movies. Everyone
yeah.
Is.
Yeah, so it could be this one.
Mm-hmm.
Prosium. Nuke was my first choice. So it's between Nuke and Prosium. I'm just going to say Nuke, I guess.
All right. Nuke.
can I change my answer?
Nope, you can't. Maybe you got it right. Who knows? Let's find out. Oh, that is incorrect. The answer is Nuke. Nuke is the drug they're trying to get under control. It's called.
That's what I said.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
but
Dale got it right.
But you.
Linky predicted it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sorry.
So this is confusing.
It's confusing because I always think someone got it wrong when you two don't agree and they say it wrong. But anyway, yes, Nuke is the drug they're trying to get under control. They create a new RoboCop for this thing, but it goes crazy. The bad guy messes up RoboCop real bad. Here's a thing of him.
How you feeling, Murphy?
I'm just fine, Warren. Thank you for asking.
I want to see those amateurs at OCP screwed up.
Pity. It's a beautiful morning. Shame to waste it.
Ready for duty, partner?
You betcha.
Let's go.
Something I'd rather do.
Oh my gosh, that movie sucks.
It's horrible. So, Neurowin was from Minority Report.
Yep.
Prosium was from Equilibrium.
Yep.
I don't know what Slow-Mo was from, though.
I don't either.
I think that's from the remake of RoboCop.
Oh.
Oh, really?
They called it Slow. Oh. They just talked about
it. Because it actually gave you slow motion.
Then, yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, they push him off the building and it's like he's falling for days or something.
That's from Dread. Nope, that's ringing a bell. I think you're right.
If we would have included the Venus drug, Daryl? Would that have
happened? No, that's Star Trek.
What if we...
It's from Mudd's Women.
What was the thing called they used in Strange Days? They're like mini discs or something, but they had a name.
And were they drugs too?
Yeah, you'd plug them into your head. Well, they basically created illusions or something and you got hooked on it, but it was called...
Dread, by the way, is where Slow-Mo's from.
Oh.
Which was almost the RoboCop remake.
Oh, right. Better, though.
Better.
Dread is great. Dread's awesome. I don't know if anyone out there has not seen
With
Dread.
Joel Kinnaman? Yeah.
Yeah. It's really, really good. Super good. Wait, Joel Kinnaman.
Joel Kinnaman.
No, you're thinking of...
Am I thinking of RoboCop 2?
I think you're thinking of the new RoboCop because the... Yes, because the guy, it's McCoy from the new Star Trek movies.
Oh, Urban, right. Carl Urban. Yes.
Yeah.
I was thinking of...
they're all the same.
They're all the same. By the way, it's funny because as soon as we do stuff like that, people start loading in the chat room with Pumbaa and Rafiki and all that.
Yeah.
I did a crossword puzzle yesterday where a lot of the clues were characters from Lion King, and I was cracking up as I was, putting them in.
That's amazing. By the way, are you just like in a chair doing that with like kind of looking down more in reading glasses? Like I'm trying to picture you doing crossword
puzzles. Doing crossword puzzles?
Yeah.
You want to know why I do crossword puzzles? Number one, I do it with there's an app on my iPad, which is, let me tell you how awesome the iPad Pro is for doing digital crossword puzzles. Okay. It's like big. Mm-hmm. You see the whole puzzle. It's so good. And I think it's called Crossword Master is the app, and it's I'll give it a recommendation right here.
Okay.
But here is why I do them.
Okay.
My grandfather Frank on my dad's side, was he was a scientist. He was a medical physicist, and he believed that one of the things you could do to stave off Alzheimer's was to keep your brain active with stuff like that every day. And so every day he would do the New York Times crossword puzzle.
Yeah.
And because of that, every day I try to do at least one crossword puzzle. I don't have a subscription to the New York Times, so I'm not doing theirs.
No. You're a modern day version of this.
I'm a modern day. I do the Newsday one. I do, that's what's cool about this Crossword Master app. It downloads crossword puzzles from all the major newspapers. So you can say,
cool.
I really like the Independent. They have a really good crossword puzzle. Newsday has a pretty good one.
I believe that's actual. There's data to back up what you're saying.
There is. Oh, yeah. It wasn't just crackpot science that he was thinking. It was...
Yeah, that's supposed to be good.
Genuine belief. And so, you know what? I do it. I totally believe it.
Why not? We don't... Listen, you may never get Alzheimer's, but what's the harm? It's
right,
keep yourself
and
sharp.
And you know what?
Yeah.
Hey, it's keeping me from playing Clash of Clans or some crap like that.
Yeah, nobody needs that in their lives, Daryl.
Right. Crosswords every day.
You know what? I may have to capture that out. That was pretty funny. All right. Daryl's the Trek Nerd. You can find him on the Trek Nerd, the Twitter as the Trek Nerd. You can also find him at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com. He will now play a weird little Google game with us. Go.
Jonathan Blank. And, we'll just take the first result.
J-O-H-N or J-O-N?
J-O-N.
Okay.
Jonathan.
I'm going to say, and you're going to say the first one?
Yeah.
Banks. I'm going to say Banks.
Jonathan Banks.
The actor.
Yep.
Mike Ehrmantraut.
Mike Ehrmantraut. And boy, is he great on Better Call Saul.
I got to catch up. I'm behind.
Last night's finale, great episode.
Oh, it was a finale?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to go consume it all at once then. I'm just going to go
you might
get
as well.
It. Yeah. I'm just going to go buy the season.
Jonathan Richman.
Oh, interesting.
Musician, the first one that came to my mind even before Colton or Hodgman. Is it John Hodgman? Jonathan Hodgman? I guess just John Hodgman.
Yeah.
Jonathan?
He used to go by Jonathan Hodgman, but not anymore.
I'm going to say, geez, I don't like any of them.
Jonathan. Yeah, I'm sticking with mine.
Jonathan. I'll stick with Richman. I don't think it's it, but I'll stick with it.
All right.
I wish it was Banks because that was a great finale.
Okay.
But it is Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Oh my Lord. What?
Boy, if that's not living proof that we need another popular Jonathan stat.
As fast as humanly possible. That's ridiculous. I am shocked by that. I don't
Jonathan
know why.
Taylor Thomas, perfect.
It's still in the mind's eye.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
Oh, look, it's the news brought to you by
Leafdom. I'm pronouncing it right for a change. It's a new fantasy book campaigning on Kindle Scout. Elements of innocent fairies interwoven with some of the darkest horrors of hell. Leafdom is packed with action and magic. Let's help Jesse Teller by voting for Leafdom to be published. We all know how great the Frog Pants community is, and we could use your support. Please go to kindlescout.amazon.com today and nominate Leafdom, L-I-E-F-D-O-M.
D-O-M. Alice Cooper in the news. He's still kicking it. He says Axl Rose joining AC/DC says of that news that might just work, he says. I don't feel very confident
about
that.
Let me pull my head out of this guillotine and answer the question.
Yeah, my snake's in the way. Okay, now let me talk. Alice Cooper is excited about the news that Axl Rose will be fronting AC/DC on the next leg of the latter band's upcoming world tour. I think that's such a unique combination, he tells Rolling Stone. Whoever has tickets to that show has got the golden ticket, because who doesn't want to see that, unquote. I kind of agree. I don't mean that it's going to be great, because I actually have some misgivings about the combination, but if you're going to have a ticket to that concert, that'd be at least something to see.
Yeah, I'm going to say something that's probably going to piss some people off. Axl Rose, really good at what he does, but I don't think he's got the range to front AC/DC. I think Brian Johnson's voice isn't just that upper register that you think of when you think of Axl Rose and Sweet Child of Mine and mm-hmm. Welcome to the Jungle and stuff. There's range there that I don't think Axl can pull off. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong.
Why did Johnson not there anymore? What happened to that deal?
He can't tour because they think he's going deaf.
Oh.
Like he doesn't have they can't use the they have to crank up the monitors and stuff probably for him.
Oh my gosh! I didn't know that. I knew the guitarist guy or the bass, whoever it is, the brother, Angus Young's brother, the other one, mm-hmm. Malcolm Young, Jimmy Young, Bob, Joe Bob Young, Larry Wilmore. I don't know what it is.
I can only think of Angus Young. Can't think of who the other one was. I keep wanting to say Brian Young, but I know that's not it.
No, it's like Malcolm Young. Or
sure,
something.
Let's say that.
Anyway,
Pumbaa Young.
Yeah, Pumbaa Young, Rafiki Young. That's it. He has dementia or something.
Oh, really? Wow.
Or onset Alzheimer's, something going on. So that's why he's not touring. But I didn't ever hear what happened with Brian Johnson. But if you're saying the deaf thing, that makes sense.
And it says it in this article, too.
Mm. Oh, yeah, it does. I guess they would bring that up, wouldn't they, since they're talking
why,
about it.
Why? They're going to tell you what, Axl.
Yeah.
He's stepping in.
It says right here, Rose's guest role on the group follows that of news that Brian Johnson, AC/DC frontman for nearly four decades, could no longer tour because he was running the risk of going deaf. They confirmed Rose's role in the band over the weekend. Rose will embark on a European stadium tour from early May to mid-June. Somebody in the chat room, you have a job. You guys need to go dig up some form of Axl Rose singing an AC/DC song. There's got to be something.
There already is, yes. And Captain Kipper put it in there if you scroll up a little bit.
Let's take a look. Oh, yeah. This YouTube video here. Let's click that and see what we get. There's Angus jumping around like a dingus. Okay, but wait a minute. Okay, it's hard because of concert phone.
Yeah,
but here's the thing. Why is Slash on that stage? What's he doing up there?
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, at least that looks like him.
I guess he's helping out, too.
Got the little hat on.
Oh, you know what that is? I think that is Guns N' Roses doing an AC/DC cover.
Oh. Well, who's...
With Angus guesting.
Oh, okay. So that is Angus Young guesting.
That is Angus Young guesting. It was recorded at Coachella.
Oh, all right. Yeah, you're right.
So it's
so that was a little preview.
Because they just headlined Coachella.
Okay. Hey, by the way, Coachella?
Yeah.
That whole thing can just F off.
Why? Why can Coachella F off?
I like the idea of a big music festival. That isn't my problem. The people who are all into going to that are driving me crazy.
Really?
Douchey. I don't want to be too generalized.
You know what? There's I think when you even get like it's
hipster bullshit
music festivals and stuff, I think that there tends to be a stereotype that people think of as far as those.
Yeah, and then the worst part is they're all dressing up like hippies from the 60s and thinking, I can't stand it. Like, the music's great, no problem. Concert, awesome. All your favorite bands, everybody get up and go. But do we all have to Instagram ourselves into the dirt of all of our little photos of our stupid stuff?
Man, I went to Lollapalooza when I came through Colorado its first few years.
Yeah. How many selfies did you take of yourself wearing like a lei and a skirt and a...
Absolutely none.
My point precisely.
Yes. Okay. All right. I'll give you that.
That's my only problem with it. Let's see. Anyway, good luck there, Alice.
Get off my lawn, Coachella.
It's not the music. It's great. In fact, I would have loved to have seen that happen on stage. That sounds great. Sure, and by the way, sure. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he'll be fine. I don't know. You say he may not have the range. Maybe you won't. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll be fine.
Maybe he'll be fine.
I can't think of another singer I'd want there, though. Like, who else? Can't put Sammy Hagar in there.
I don't know. I mean, you kind of could. Sammy Hagar, I feel, has got a little bit more range than... But the problem with Sammy Hagar is once you put Sammy Hagar in a band, it starts sounding like the Sammy Hagar band. Yeah. That was my issue with Van Halen, is that, you know, it just sounded like Sammy Hagar being backed up by a different band.
Yeah. Ninja Steve says, of all the bands that would make someone go deaf, AC/DC seems appropriate. Yeah. They're pretty loud.
What about MC Hammer, says Major Dumperoo?
Yeah, what's he doing? You know the guy's got talent. look at this. Zoe went to a Alice Cooper concert. First ever live concert. Was 12 at the time.
Nice.
Zoe was not.
Hopefully.
Alice Cooper.
Yeah. Alice Cooper was 12.
Yeah.
Welcome to my nightmare.
We drove by his house and saw him out watering something once. We were down
He's like, you know, I mean, he's one of those guys that totally puts himself out there as regular Joe. Like, he, you know, he owns a hot dog place in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he goes
nice.
To baseball games. He's like, you know, super down to earth. Mm-hmm. Really like Alice
I
Cooper.
Like him too. He seemed to have kept his cool.
Yep, totally.
All this time later. All right. Here's a story that the headline alone is probably worth the price of admission. Forceful in-flight nipple tweak lands Olympic swimmer in hot water.
We're not going to talk about this one. Okay, let's do that one after.
What, did I skip it? Oh, yeah, we'll go back to that.
We'll come back to that.
I scrolled too fast like an idiot. Grant Hackett. A three-time Olympic gold medalist swimmer from Australia, allegedly groped the chest of a male passenger and tweaked his nipple during a flight.
It's such a, like, it sounds like such a sensual description of a general, like,
yeah,
horsing around tactic.
Yeah, like a couple of dumb swimmer buddies.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Oh, he groped my chest and tweaked my nipple.
My nipple. A forced in-flight nipple tweak.
You just gave me a purple nurple. Well, give me problem, a titty twister.
The problem was that it wasn't his friend is the problem. It was
just a random dude.
He was a random dude.
Oh, okay.
It happened on a flight from...
Please carry on. It's like someone else on the swim team.
It was a flight between Adelaide and Melbourne. The passenger told the Herald Sun that Hackett reacted after he had inclined his seat too far for Hackett's liking. He said Hackett grabbed his chair, shoved it forward. Then he put his hand through, groped my chest, and tweaked my nipple quite forcefully, the passenger told the Herald Sun. The freestyle great was said to have stroked the victim's arm and said, "It's okay, it's all right." But the victim... I love how this is written. But the victim, a real estate executive traveling with his partner to a family reunion, said he felt unsafe and violated.
Okay.
While not addressing any specific accusations, Hackett did issue a statement apologizing for his behavior. Quote, "I seriously and genuinely regret my poor behavior," he said.
"That's not a titty twister. This is a titty twister.
That's a purple nurple." I have stuffed up more than once. I'm working on these issues. It is stuffed up. That's great. It is embarrassing to hear and read consequences of my actions. I obviously preserve or unreservedly, what? I apologize. What am I saying? Obviously, I that's not the right word. No. I apologize unreservedly to the gentleman on the flight. I am trying to make direct contact with him personally and get to his other nipple.
You've already made direct contact with him personally.
And he was supposedly drinking, so they didn't mention that in this first part, right. But he was kind of soft.
I just love the, the abusive relationship appearance there. Like, oh, he reclined too far. I'm going to, okay, it's okay. And then stroking his arm, like, yeah. It's okay, baby.
It's all right. It's just a little nipple tweak. It's fine.
Jeez.
Anyway, that's the thing. Here's another thing. If you want to make yourself sick, I got a plan for you.
Okay.
McDonald's, at least this location, is promising you all-you-can-eat French fries. The franchise of the hamburger heavyweight in St. Joseph, Missouri, is building a 6,500-square-foot restaurant. Good Lord. It'll be the first Golden Arches in the country to offer bottomless French fries for its customers. Dubbed the McDonald's of the future... The restaurant, one of the seven owned by Chris and Carrie Habiger. Oh, no. Tell me that's not their real name. Their last name is Habiger.
Habiger.
Or Habiger. It looks like hamburger.
It kind of does. Habiger.
That's amazing.
Sounds like you're saying hamburger really fast.
Chris Habiger, owner of a bunch of McDonald's. Anyway, it's opening in July. In addition to serving nonstop starchy freshness, this... boy, that's a nice way to put it. This location will include ordering kiosks and in place of a row of checkouts, plus comfy armchairs in earthy tones and table service.
Wow. Mm.
Customers will be able to create their own personalized burger, chicken sandwich, and dessert through an on-screen ordering system, selecting or declining various cheese and topping options. Today's customers seek a comfortable and inviting atmosphere, says Chris Hamburger. He told the Joseph News Press. Quote, we're committed to providing a modern look and feel. Anyway, this is also supposedly a test for the market. McDonald's could potentially, company-wide, do the whole free French fry thing.
Sure.
Or bottomless French fries.
This isn't new. I mean, Red Robin has been doing bottomless fries for a long time. I never finish the fries they give me, so I'm not a good customer for this, but
right.
I bet you could get somebody who just, wants to just sit at the McDonald's all day long and do nothing but eat bottomless fries.
Yeah, probably. And they're cheap to start with, so not that big a deal. I was reading something where McDonald's French friesees, or maybe it was a podcast, but they get mad when corporate tries to implement a program across the country because it usually affects their bottom line and corporate doesn't care. So it's like, if you suddenly say fries are bottomless, you are in theory cutting out a portion of their revenue stream.
Sure, sure. And doesn't seem like as a franchisee you could willy-nilly make that decision.
Right.
It seems like anything that, if you do not offer this product for this price, then it seems like you're violating whatever agreement you signed when you signed up with the terms of service. But. Yep. If your name is Hamburger, you can get away with
it. Yeah, if your name is Hamburger or French Fry or whatever, you're good.
Hamburger. Hi, my name is Bob Chocolate Chick. Nice to meet you.
This is my friend Hamburglar, and we're here.
My wife, Shamrock.
She only comes around once a year, but...
exactly.
your Uncle McRib. That's amazing. Yeah, so here's the other thing. Fries, as we know from science, this has been tested. When you eat McDonald's French fries, they take forever to process. Like, your body's not good at breaking them down. And I can't imagine doing that to yourself. Sitting there eating that stuff all afternoon? What's your point? Why would you do that? That seems bad.
I don't know, but now I'm in the mood for Red Robin. Thanks a lot.
I kind of am too, dude.
Yeah.
What are those big burger things they do?
Banzai chicken sandwich, man. That's the way to do it. Get the grilled banzai chicken sandwich.
There's one right up the road here. Just go.
Mine's a little further away. We've got an illegal burger just up the street. I wonder if they could do, if they have teriyaki and pineapple. Really, it's all you need.
Tell me about illegal burger. What is that? That's not
illegal burger. It's a local chain. Probably have 4 or 5 restaurants around Denver, and they're really, really good. I mean, it's like more upscale. Probably on the. Do you guys have Smash Burger?
We do.
Okay, very much like a Smash Burger.
Oh, I like Smash Burger. We're getting a new Smash Burger even at a shorter distance than the Red Robin shortly. We have so many restaurants around us. It's kind of disgusting how many we have. Huh. All right, final in the news.
Don't have as a habit.
The habit's great.
Yeah.
Brian, don't worry. I know you've been worried about this, but don't worry. Ted Cruz will not be banning sex toys if he's president.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah. The internet was exploding last week with a rumor that Republican presidential candidate Ted Cruz was a fierce opponent of... masturbation.
Okay, here it comes. So this is this is the pre-story, right? You know, we're going to get the story later on that he's very against something, and then he gets caught doing whatever it is that he's super against.
Well,
so now we're setting up. Here's the pitch.
Yeah.
Here's the windup.
So far we don't have any, like, I am honestly, of all the candidates, the two I expect the biggest shoe drops from, like the most, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe we need to know about this kind of stuff, is Cruz and Hillary Clinton. Those are the two I suspect have the most weird skeletons in their closet.
The biggest skeleton in the closet that needs to come out.
Yeah. Of those, of all the running candidates, I don't think Bernie does anything but drink warm soup and show up on time. I think he doesn't care.
I thought I'd be in bed by 8 o'clock. Can we wrap this debate up?
Yeah, I don't think I'm all that worried about his skeletons. I think that Trump is a skeleton from the closet, so I don't think he's all out there. There's really probably not much hiding. He already has all his stupid stuff out and people still like him.
Right.
So there's that. But then these other two who act the role of something very different, I think that there's something going on back there. I'm just saying, not between them, but Cruz and Hillary, don't trust them. Something's up. They got some kind of something going on.
And we're a couple hours in to the primary, the New York primary.
Yeah.
And we'll see.
How's it looking? Do we know yet? There are no polls
yet. I'm looking to see if Google News has any early polling information. I think it's still too early to tell. Live coverage, the New York primaries. Here we go. The Atlantic has live coverage.
Yeah.
They're
not doing exit polls yet, I'm guessing. Too
probably
early.
Not.
It's too early to get too early. It's too early to get a fish sandwich.
Too early to get a fish sandwich?
That's right. Anyway, so Cruz had said last week while he was governor in Texas, or solicitor general, sorry, in Texas in 2007, he defended a state law that criminalized the sale of sex toys. As part of the case, Cruz's office wrote in a brief that people don't have the legal right to masturbate. Mother Jones reported this on Friday. His office lost, by the way. You can read more about the case if you want and go look it up. Anyway, there is no substantive due process right to stimulate one's genitals for non-medical purposes unrelated to procreation or outside the interpersonal relationship, according to the brief. As Snopes points out, it was Cruz's job at the time to argue the state's position on the matter, so the brief his office put out doesn't necessarily reflect his personal beliefs. Anyway, people were worried that that was going to be some kind of part of his, if he became president, part of his rule. I hereby ban the dildo.
Yeah.
But he's not going to.
Seems really crazy.
He's not going to, because who would? Come on.
Right, exactly.
Come on. There are some weird selfies of him floating around. I'm telling you.
Happy wives matter.
There's something going on. Oh, what's this? There's a photo. Captain Kipper. I don't know if I trust this.
That's great. BJJ.
That's pretty good.
Well done.
I want to live by that corner. That makes me laugh. All right, we're going to take a I saw this Herbert thing. Breaking news. Our Utah governor, Gary Herbert, wants to declare pornography as a public health hazard.
Oh, geez.
Now, I know some people in the mental health world who would tell you that that's true. That there is like data to support the idea that it is a hazard to one's mental health if consumed at too great a rate and becomes a big part of your life. So he's doing some resolution passed by state legislators to increase, quote, education, prevention, research, and policy change at the community and social level to combat pornography. Everyone's freaking out about it because, let's see, our very conservative governor of our very conservative state is making a very conservative effort to do a very conservative thing. How shocking. I'm shocked by it.
Couldn't they just throttle? Throttle the porn, right? Just, you know, say, all right, everyone's allowed 11 minutes per day.
It's only going to tick in real slow, like dial up, though.
Right. It's going to be like looking at pictures of Cindy Margulies in 1995.
Yep. Also, people are also shocked about the there's this movie theater in Salt Lake City called Broovies.
Uh-huh.
And they are this place where you can get food and alcohol brought to you, like little table service type stuff. It's super cool. It's like this
Alamo Draft House kind of thing.
Yeah, very similar to that, just a little smaller scale. And they've been around forever. They've been in Salt Lake forever. Very popular place. And they were cited for serving alcohol while showing Deadpool, and they're fighting it. because they wanted, the state wanted to take away their liquor license because they served alcohol while showing Deadpool. Now,
why would it matter? Why, okay, I'm sure they show other films there that are probably as violent. I mean, you know, Sicario.
Oh, it's definitely not the. I wouldn't call it. I doubt very highly it's the violence. I'm sure it's got more to do with
attracting kids.
Yes.
To the film. Okay.
So, for example, Boobies. Let's see if I can read this. Boobies faces a fine of $25,000 and a 10-day suspension of its liquor license. It's the Attorney General's office. Oh, isn't the first time they've been punished? Previously, after the screening of The Hangover Part 2, the theater was slapped with a fine of $1,627. Let's see. Statutory prohibitions found in the Attire Conduct and Entertainment Act governs conduct of DABC licenses and specifically addresses the showing of film, still pictures, electronic reproductions, or visual reproductions of any kind depicting sex acts, simulated sex acts, genitals, etc.
That's what the chat room is saying. So it's the sex and the nudity.
Yep.
And so it's like, well, how's this any different from a strip club then? Yep. Serving alcohol and watching boobies.
That's basically what they're saying. And what I'm saying is that the laws are dumb. And also, here's another big shocker. A conservative state with very conservative alcohol laws are making a very conservative statement about a very liberal place in the middle of a very liberal city. Duh. This stuff happens all over the place. So yeah. I don't know why I'm getting showered. Well, I know I'm getting showered with it because I'm from there and so people are bringing it up. But whatever. Go read a Florida newspaper today and tell me what you got going on down there. Let me know how that goes for you. It'll all work. It'll work itself out. Salt Lake City is an extremely liberal city, smack dab. It's like the Houston, or it's like the Austin of Texas.
Sure.
Like Salt Lake City is very much like Austin. Like this liberal, much more liberal, not entirely liberal, liberal sort of hold out that's surrounded by the donut of conservatism. It's the same as Texas and Austin. It kind of works like that. Anyway, let's move on. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to make some things with Bill, or at least he's going to tell us what he's making.
Cool.
And then we're going to talk to Justin Robert Young a little bit on the show. Before we do all that, though, you brought music, and I want to hear it.
I did. This is fun, because today, again, there's a common theme running through the songs today. And I think people get a kick out of it. So Bloop Squish, the tadpooler formerly known as Stink Pickle, wrote him and said, "Hey, Slarty and Barfest, this one is for Brian. I love cover songs too. My earliest memory that sparked my interest goes back to a 9-year-old me seeing Devo do their classic cover of I Can't Get No Satisfaction back in 1979 or 1980. My eyes were open to the wonder of covers. So Brian, is there a song that got it started for you? What got Coverville into motion? Could you play it for us? If not, how about a car horn followed by a scream?"
Oh, I got that guy. Hold on. Oh, I had it earlier. Hold on. There he is.
But as a pop...
No. No. Licking Loki's horn. No. Why can't I find it now? Oh, here it is. All right, there you go. All right.
The joy and awesomeness you guys bring to people's lives cannot be understated. Thank you guys for doing what you do. And as always... love the show, though. Bloop Squish. All right. So the song that really, the earliest cover that I ever remember hearing was Blue Suede's Hooked on a Feeling, which, again, got a resurgence a couple years ago with Guardians of the Galaxy. And it was originally done by BJ Thomas, and both of them were popular on the radio. So I heard them both fairly regularly, you know, listening to 70s radio. I'm not going to play that or a cover of that. I'm going to play something a little more recent because while that may have been the cover that I remember early on and really liking early on, there were other songs that kind of were the catalyst for me starting a podcast about cover songs. And this was one of them. In 2004, I was doing some stuff helping out a label called Not Lame Records. Mm-hmm. And really, really cool guy. It's not around anymore, unfortunately, but it's part of a bigger thing now called Pop Geek Heaven. And if you haven't checked out Pop Geek Heaven, go check it out. It's like pop music and it's really, really cool power pop stuff. They came out with an album called Substitution Mass Confusion, which was a tribute album for the band The Cars. And this was one of the things that I was listening to at the time and thinking, oh my God, I gotta play this for people. I've gotta like introduce people to this cool stuff because it's such a great great tribute album. Every track is dead on, and it's such a great, they're a great band to cover, and their music just lends itself to being reinterpreted. Now, what's cool about this song and the second song that we're going to hear today is that they're both great examples of when an artist does a cover and they tweak the chords a little bit. They tweak it from a minor chord into a major chord or vice versa. And so this is a cover of You Might Think by a fantastic artist named Blue, B-L-E-U. Again, someone I want you to check out. If you dig this cover, go check out more of Blue's music. He is super, super cool. From the album Substitution Mass Confusion from 2004, this is Blue and You Might Think.
Professional opportunist.
That doesn't sound very nice.
No, not that kind of opportunist. You see, I'm one of the world's greatest authorities on opportunity.
Chuck Norris stars in Chuck Norris Karate Commandos. The Morning Stream. They sleeps in the raw with their ma and pa.
All right, we're back.
You handled that abrupt ending like a pro, Johnson.
Well, I told you I was going to keep an eye on it. Mostly it was just me keeping track of the time.
Sure, of course.
Because I figured when it ended, it would just, that would be it. I got lucky. Let's say it that way. I got lucky.
Everybody. Sure, sure.
Good welcome, everyone. Welcome
good
back.
Welcome. Good welcome. Good journey.
We're going to hang out with Bill Duran today. Some, because why not?
Yeah, right. It's Tuesday. That's what we do.
Can you think of a reason why we shouldn't talk to him?
I think I can think of no reason why we shouldn't.
Me neither. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Bill Duran to the program as we build things with Bill.
Hello and welcome from sunny Southern California.
Well, that was going to be my question. I knew you were traveling, but I wasn't sure where. What brings you there? What are you doing?
Well, tomorrow I'm going to Disneyland.
Sounds all right. You were shooting stuff with the tested guys before this, right?
Yeah, I was up in Jury's neck of the woods. Actually, I was up on Jury's floor sleeping, really. That's what it was. And shot video with them, then came down here, shoot video with a whole bunch of my prop and costume making friends, and now picking up Brittany from the airport in about an hour and going to Disneyland.
It sounds nice. Like the life of a true champion.
Are you going to be dressed as Bill at Disneyland, or are you going to do anything up?
I didn't bring any costumes.
No. Okay.
Darn it. I want to see your Draugr thing next to like Mickey Mouse.
That would be really magical.
Yeah,
that would be. I don't think they'd let you in, actually.
No, I don't think so.
Well, good. You can scope out the area and make sure that BlizzCon's still safe for the rest of us to come to in November. Mm-hmm. I guess
he's
gonna be there. Well, good. Well, Bill's on the show often on Tuesdays, and we talk about stuff. You know, he's working on things that are going on in the world of prop making and makers in general. What's happening today? What are you excited about?
I want to talk about tools.
Oh, all right. Let's talk about Brian again.
That's pretty good.
All right. Sorry. Go ahead. Tools.
Oh, very good. I want to talk about tool time, like Tim Toolman Taylor.
All right.
I like power tools. I don't know about you guys. I have a lot of them, like an unhealthy amount, and usually two of each because I'm crazy. But I know a lot of people, when they get started, it's a little daunting, right? You know, what tools do I buy? What should I save up for? What should I cheap out on? And I'll tell you what, if you're getting started, there are a lot of ways to get power tools for cheap or even free just to get started, make your life a lot easier. So here's the cheap. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Harbor Freight. You guys have one of those near you?
No, but it sounds familiar. Maybe we do and I just don't know it. This is where Kim does this stuff. She's all, guess who owns the Dremel and the power drills and there's a table saw? Yeah. Those are all Kim's.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Harbor Freight is basically known for selling really cheap, crappy tools. But if you're just getting started and you don't know what tools you need, it's not a bad idea to start with something really, really cheap. So, good example, I have a circular saw I got from Harbor Freight. I use it maybe once a year. It does the thing I need it to do. It makes big pieces of wood into slightly smaller pieces of wood. I think it was $25. So for me, that's perfect because I'm not using it every single day. If I was, I might go buy a nicer one.
Yeah.
But I now know that I won't because I bought the cheap one. And
what is that one primarily used for, and that you only use it like once a year? What's its main use?
Just most of the stuff I make is small. I'm not putting up, walls. I'm not making furniture. I just get like big sheets of wood from the hardware store, and I need those sheets of wood to be smaller. So I'll use that thing to hack off a hunk of it.
Right.
It doesn't need to be accurate. It doesn't need to be efficient. It gets the job done.
Yeah.
The cool thing is that if you do end up using one of those tools a lot, then you could just, over time, you could just replace it with something nicer.
Upgrade it. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So I had a drill press from Harbor Freight that was kind of a piece of crap and it was kind of small, and I ended up using it every single day. And I was like, all right, Bill, spend the coin, go get a new one. So I went and got a really, really nice Delta one, and I took the other one and I threw it in an alleyway. Well, useless.
Yeah.
I gave it to a friend.
Okay.
I was going to say that is I know Bill to be a pretty conscientious sort of a citizen type, and I doubt he'd throw anything in the alley, but
just abandon it.
I was going to go with it. It's totally
cool. Actually, we've got a Harbor Freight tools really close to me and I didn't even know it. I knew that we had one down south, but there's one that's like I don't know, 10 miles away. Not bad.
Yeah. It's a good place to get consumables too, so like rubber gloves, zip ties, those sort of things too. It's and they're always having a sale. Something is always on sale. Go check them out.
Cool.
The other thing you can do to get tools for pretty cheap is find used tools. So garage sales or estate sales are really good. eBay and Craigslist are all really, really good places to go find tools for cheap when they're used. And the great thing is old tools that are good are still good tools. So if you go find a bandsaw from 1950 that was good in 1950, it's still good now. Those things hold on to their usefulness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have a bandsaw that's as old as I am that I got from a friend, and it still works a lot better than I do. So, hooray.
Well, if you're okay, but let's say you've gone through your Harbor Freight deal and you've decided, mm-hmm. you know what, I really do need this bandsaw, and I also need this this power drill, and I need these three other things, and I know I need them, so I'm gonna step up now.
Yeah.
Who then? Is it all like, what's the brand of du jour?
Makita. Right
now? No. It depends. It really depends. So if you're getting into woodworking, there is a whole world into that. Go watch the Wood Whisperer. He'll help you out. Mm-hmm. But be prepared to spend a lot of money. There are a bunch of different crazy brands, but I recommend trying tools out if you can. If you have friends who have good power tools, you can try them out. You can even share tools with your buddies. So I'll buy the bandsaw, you know, Jeff over there, he'll buy the circular saw, and then Jim over there, he'll buy the drill press, right? And then you can just go, you know, try each other's stuff out and share them. You could also join a makerspace. Go like a hackerspace or a makerspace. Those places usually have all the tools, and you can, for a fee, go use them and just do that always, or just check out what they've got and see what you like, see what you'll use, and decide to spend your money that way.
So if I go to a Maker Faire, you're saying there's a good chance that like DeWalt or whoever...
Maker Faire versus Makerspace, two different things. Makerspace is like a permanent thing that has like little booths and places where you can just go and say, all right, I need access to a 3D printer for a few hours.
All right.
But a lot of those places will have like full-on woodworking shops or metalworking tools. Yeah.
That's brilliant.
Look around for sure. Mm. The other thing you can do is it's not as frequent, but you can find free tools. And you'll be surprised what people are getting rid of sometimes. In fact, I was just browsing the free section on Craigslist for Seattle, and I saw a MIG welder for free. And the guy's like, I just need it gone. It's old, but it works. Take it off my hand.
What's a MIG and how do you weld it? What is that? Is that like Russian
Tom Cruise flew in Top Gun?
Yes, it is. MIG welder, TIG welder. There's different types of welders. I don't know much about it, but if I got one, I'd start using it. And if it was free, that would be fantastic.
Yeah.
But I'm down here in California and going, darn, that thing's going to be gone as soon as I call the guy.
That's interesting.
I hadn't onto it for me.
I guess it's like if people have pets they don't want to try to sell, they just want to find homes for or whatever. I guess that would exist for probably most anything.
Especially bigger things that take up a lot of space. They don't know how to use. Grandpa left us this, you know, belt sander. I don't think we're going to use it. Let's just get rid of it.
Yeah. For a lathe or be right, the big stuff. People are like, I just don't have the room for it. I can't spend money on storing it. I just need it gone. Mm-hmm. Right. So every day, every couple days, just browse through that free section on Craigslist. You will be astonished to see what people are getting rid of.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
That's a good idea. I like it. Every time we talk, I realize my dad was born in the wrong generation.
Yeah.
If he was around today, he would be so into all this. He was always the guy with all the tools. Like, I'm the opposite of him in this way. I'm not good with that stuff. But he would have, like, you know, garage full of different tools. He'd get deals on that stuff all the time. He was always making something rad. And it's like if he was like Bill now, he'd be in heaven.
Yep. So it's a pretty good time to be a maker.
It really is. If you're into that stuff, I don't know. I just feel bad. He was born at the wrong time. I always think about that. There was some guy in the 1800s who should have been like the CEO of Twitter, but he was born in the 1800s. You know, I always think about that. I don't know why. It's kind of weird and dumb. But anyway, well, this sounds good, man. Tools. Yes. Tools are important.
All right. I got to make a recommendation for you guys.
Go for it.
Cool.
It's a podcast. I hear you guys like podcasts.
I do.
This one is my buddy Bob Claggett and then David Picciuto and Jimmy DeResta. These three guys are all makers. They all have their own YouTube channel, but they make a podcast every week called Making It. It's makingitpodcast.com. And it's a really, really awesome look into the world of both making things with your hands and with tools and making videos for YouTube. They all have this. It's basically the perfect podcast for me. It's exactly what
I do. Right, because you do all those things. Yeah.
I do all those things. They're really funny. They're a great gaggle of dudes. And they did an episode number 56 on free tools. So that's worth checking out.
Yeah, I'm looking at their site now. Lots of interesting stuff.
Yeah.
Cool.
$2,000 to start over. That's interesting.
Yeah, that's like a concept. What if your shop was gone, you had $2,000 to start over, what would you do?
Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh, that's smart. Yeah.
Yeah. My favorite title is their most recent one, episode 67. Aw, look at that poor little piece of rope, is that title. That's pretty great. All right,
so
cool.
Bill, you're probably more of an inspiration than you know, because both Scott and I are on our way to building our own MAME cabinets, our own arcade machines, thanks to you and hooking us onto those videos that your buddy put up about building a MAME machine.
Yep.
Right, amazing.
Here in my hand are the plans
for
making that arcade cabinet.
Great.
Yep. Look at this. I got my, or you can't see it. Now you can, because I'm going to send
you. Did
you
get your Kenna kit?
Yep. There's my Raspberry Pi 3 right there.
Oh, sweet.
Got that ready to go. Nick is super jazzed. He sat down last night and drew. So he went and found a bunch of like his favorite looking arcade cabinets. Mm-hmm. Like the Mortal Kombat 1 cabinet's probably our favorite. We just like the shape of it. And he sat down and with a sketchbook and drew like these really detailed drawings of what they'd look like from all these different angles. And
oh wow, yeah, really? So that's super cool.
So excited. Nice. So yeah, we're all on the path, thanks to Bill, who will have us drinking Kool-Aid and dying in Guyana sometime.
If I can inspire everybody to spend a little more of their hard-earned cash,
exactly. I've done it right. You've done the right thing. And thankfully, I have a really tool-smart brother-in-law who's going to let me use all his tool stuff to cut our wood and everything. So
there you go.
My father-in-law. Yeah. Same thing.
Got to have someone that, like Bill in your life.
You totally do.
All right, Bill, always a pleasure. Where should people go to find you between now and the next time we talk?
Well, we have the new Foamsmith book, Foamsmith 2, Forging Foam Weapons at punishedprops.com. Go grab it now.
Mm.
But also on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/punishedprops, Brittany just put out a video making a Hearthstone box.
Mm.
She did all of it. She built the whole thing. She shot the video. She's in the video. Like, it's totally her thing, and she killed it. It's amazing.
Can't wait
everyone
to see it.
Go see it.
It's
beautiful.
Yeah, I've only seen
it.
She
did it the right way. I just downloaded a 3D print and printed the crap out of it, but she actually did it.
It's really
the
nice.
Way it should be done.
Yeah. Pretty freaking nice. Also, I heard she's going to be Widowmaker at some cosplay somewhere.
Yes, probably for BlizzCon.
That's
BlizzCon.
Amazing.
Nice.
Yeah, that'll be a big thing this year. So why not Widowmaker?
Why not?
All right, Bill, always fun. Chinbeard on Twitter. Follow him there. Take it easy. Stay out of trouble and enjoy that weird security camera that's looking at you behind you there.
All right. Bye, guys.
Kind of freaks me out a little bit. Wonder.
Really?
Yeah, it was like a little camera staring down at. Is he in a hotel? I don't know if he didn't say. Maybe he isn't. I don't know.
No, he was staying with friends.
Oh, okay. They have a camera looking at him, just so you know, Bill. Your friends are staring at you, buddy. All right, well, let's get Jerry all up in this.
Sure.
Because, you know, what was that thing you were going to ask him yesterday? I forgot already.
I can't remember either. I was thinking about it.
It was like,
chat room will remind us. Yeah, what was our...
I can't remember. In fact, I even told him, well, here's the, let's play his theme, if I can find the damn thing. Here it is, right here.
These are their stories.
Oh, I'm terrible with names.
It's Justin Robert, I don't know why that made me laugh this time, because I play it every week, but for some reason that cracked me up. It's Justin Robert Young, everybody on the line. Hi.
I wonder if people, because we haven't really done the name bit in a really long time, but like that was, that's some, it's like a play on a joke,
yeah.
Like 5 years old now.
Right. Justin Robert. Taylor Thomas.
Yeah, that's
listen,
true.
Kid, Austin now, Ray back Young. In the day, the president was Ronald Reagan, and Scott thought it was really funny that I had a middle name.
Yeah, I did. I thought it was a real hoot. And you were only talking about weird things back then. Remember that?
I was, yeah. I would only talk about Bigfoot and the melon heads and the dizzy devil and the chupacabra and a real prime rib.
Yep. Now you just swap all those names out for Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, and Bernie Sanders, and there's your show. So it's good to have you. Wait, can you remember what I asked you yesterday that I wanted to at least touch on today? What was it?
I wanted to talk about the AMC chain CEO mentioning at a industry convention that AMC might think about instituting theaters wherein texting or phone play in general was allowed, if not encouraged.
Right. And you, so here's where the issue came up. It's they've yeah. since now said, no way we're doing it. We've heard you loud and clear, blah, blah, blah. All right.
Yeah.
You were all for this, though. And I just have to know why you were all for this, because I could not be more against an idea than I am about this. Because the last thing I need is more annoying people around me with their phones and their bright lights in the middle of the movie and just ruin it for me.
Okay. So let's
justify this for us, Justin.
For whatever reason, I have apparently become the devil's advocate for this position. So let's just go ahead and lay out exactly just what he said.
All right.
There would be separate theaters that would cater to a younger demographic by letting them do something that they would prefer to do in a theater that you would not.
Okay. Wait. Was it now? Hold on a sec. Was it separate theaters or just a section in
separate theaters?
Okay. All right. Well, okay. Now I'm
leaning a little more into your side, but let's hear the whole thing out.
One, here's what it drives me up a wall sometimes is that, and maybe it's having been a reporter and seeing how many things go out into the ether and like from the other side thinking like, okay, well, this is important and this is important. And then all of a sudden some crazy stuff gets picked up. True story. I got a friend of mine that works at the Wall Street Journal. She is very industrious and amazing and a fantastic reporter. Her name is Katie Stetch. If you ever see her byline, you should be happy because you know that you're going to read a great and well-researched story.
Okay.
She figured out in her career at the Wall Street Journal that the way to get an interesting beat that people don't think is interesting is to make bankruptcies her beat, because bankruptcies are always fraught with drama and can take you in a million different directions. Bankruptcies get filed on a personal level. Bankruptcies get filed on a business level, big businesses, small businesses. You can tell all kinds of stories based on this one seemingly boring action that also brings along with it a necessary element of cold hard facts, because they have to file financials and stuff to declare bankruptcy.
Okay.
The most read story she's ever written. All right. And this is including a career that just off the top of my head includes a story where she uncovered predatory student loans that were so bad, they were leading to schools suing the bad loans, and then by proxy, the parents who co-signed on them because they were so predatory and people couldn't pay them back, to the point where during her reporting, when she was calling schools to say, hey, by the way, do you realize that you guys are suing students and that you guys like took on these loans? The schools were like, oh my God, no, we didn't realize that. We're going to stop taking these loans immediately. This is actively making the world a better place. The number one story for which she has been read on that site, 50 Cent filing for bankruptcy. And she has been in meetings, right? Where all of a sudden, they're gathering around and they're looking at all the web stats for the year, for last year.
Yeah.
And it's the number one story that's been read on WallStreetJournal.com. And she has to be like silently like, yay, you know, because everybody else who's out there, you know, reporting all along the world and figuring, you know, like doing like big, this is big AAA, corporate card journalism. Just go out and get the story, big leagues, right?
Yeah.
And her talking about 50 Cent. Now, why did 50 Cent and his bankruptcy, why was that so fascinating? But and we can't just write it off as because we're dumb. Oh man, what a dumb society. Like, because 50 Cent is a very, very well-known person who has made his living on how rich he is.
Yeah.
From the very beginning. His first album, he was bragging about his $1 million advance, and he's only gotten more affluent from there. He has certainly somebody that has been very, very good at licensing out his name.
His name is literally a denomination of currency.
Well, and more so than that, he took his name from a famous drug dealer.
okay.
Wow.
But, it's well known, and it's Schadenfreude. The guy who's bragged about his money, the guy who has an Instagram. I mean, number one, the other biggest story that she's written was when
he got hauled back into bankruptcy court because he, on his Instagram, he was spelling out broke in stacks of $100 bills.
I forgot about that. I loved that when that happened.
So that's, but he, that's the thing. So it's not necessarily a terrible thing. It's just that he's well known. He's known for a thing. The opposite thing happened. Mm. Bing, bang, boom, newsworthy.
Right.
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 So why did everybody freak their freak the freak out when the CEO of, make no mistake, an industry that has very troubling warning signs ahead of it,
yeah,
made a statement that was like, hey, look, we want to try to think about different ways of doing things at an industry convention. He didn't go on Twitter. He didn't take out a big full-page ad in the New York Times. He said it to other peers at a convention that, in general, nobody would give a rat's ass about. Right. Why did this go viral? Because when you go to a theater and someone's texting next to you, you get frustrated by it.
Yeah.
Anybody who's gone to see a movie on the day it comes out or the weekend it comes out has probably been frustrated by people at the movie theater. And so now we take out all that energy because we don't want to leave in the middle of Civil War. We don't want to leave in the middle of a movie right. We're enjoying. Maybe you should have left in the middle of Batman versus Superman. Pa, pa, pa. but you didn't because you were hoping it was getting better only to be disappointed by that and life itself.
Right. You
take out all that energy on this guy.
Yeah.
And so now everybody broke their fingers on Twitter. That's a stupid.
It's an outrage.
And meanwhile, that's Sly Fox, Tim League at the Alamo Draft House, which, for the record, I've gone to probably more movies in the past 2 months because the Alamo Draft House opened in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. I've found reasons and movies that I've been kind of interested in to go further. I have a brilliant movie theater within walking distance from my house, and I've gone as much, if not more, to the Alamo Draft House. Why? Because I like it. Enjoy their experience. And Tim League just dogpiled on it by writing his own little editorial. It's like, hey, I think this is a bad idea. And it's like, idiot. Of course you do. You're running like the best theater chain. It's fine.
Right. With the best campaign.
On yeah. While somebody else lit dog poop on his front stoop.
And Alamo Drafthouse has probably the best anti-texting message that they deliver at the beginning of all their movies too. Well,
number one, it's a real thing. If you talk or text during the movie, they're gonna kick you out. First time you get a warning, second time you get kicked out. I've gotten a warning, by the way.
Of course you have.
It was during Star Wars Force Awakens, the first time I saw it. And during the trailers, which technically is before their no talking texting thing goes in, the Star Trek trailer played, and I just loudly said, "That ain't Star Wars." And everybody
you got a warning for that?
I got it. Well, it's anonymous because you can communicate with the wait staff, and so you just write in like, "Hey, the dude who yelled, I ain't Star Wars, that ain't Star Wars." Just, you know, throw him a yellow card.
That's awesome.
So here's, but with the AMC thing, these theaters face real problems. Less and less young people, which used to be the bread and butter of the movie industry,
right,
are going to see movies.
Mm-hmm.
I love the Alamo Draft House because for me, somebody who came up in a certain era and loves nothing more than a dark movie theater, a dark, silent movie theater, that's great. And then when I'm like, man, what would be better than a dark, silent movie theater? I don't know. What about a refreshing IPA? And then they're just like, great, I'll bring that to you too. Also, want some chicken wings? We can make that happen. Also, pizza. Like, there's just, it is great for me because it decided to carve out a special experience for somebody with my taste. Now, I don't know whether or not anybody really wants to text during a movie. Right?
Yeah.
I just know that I'm not going to go to AMC as they are careening toward an iceberg and say, no, you guys shouldn't change anything, to cater to an audience that is not interested in your product. Like that to me seems really weird and really provincial.
Okay. That's a decent argument.
Mm-hmm.
Are you annoyed when people do it around you? A separate question. I mean, it's hard not to tie.
And that's why I go to the Alamo Draft House.
Right.
I reward the theater that caters to me.
Yeah.
And so they want to cater to another demographic. And I appreciate when people do it for me. If my tastes do not match with another demographic's taste, then they should have their own theater. Should have their own thing.
So if they've get okay, so if this is what they said, and so a lot of the story's been filled in by you today. If they're saying separate theaters that cater to dirty millennials who want to have their phone out constantly and be selfieing and sending stuff back and forth, and even the lights aren't even turned down that much because gosh dang it, you got to take some pictures during this thing. If that's what they're saying, freaking go for it. Who cares? Mm-hmm. I'm not going there.
I won't be going to those theaters. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's fine with me.
Then you've invalidated the entire reason why you brought this up.
Because we didn't know that it was separate theaters. But when we read this, or at least when I read this, the way it was presented was a separate texting section in the theater.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? If that section is the very back row, fine. I can live with that.
Yeah.
But if it's a separate theater, even better.
Yeah.
Give me 3D, 2D, and text
stories on this. And by the way, this was literally just like him floating it out to other industry people.
Right.
He knows exactly at what stage it was that this would have been a thing, right? Mm-hmm. Whether or not they had the stanchions already printed up and they were hoping this was the big debut of their brilliant idea everybody was going to love.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think this was something that was kind of blown out of proportion. And I would say this, you know, if there are certain kinds of movies that at a certain age I would have found more interesting, texting doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me, and I don't know how much sense it makes to other people, for younger people, right?
Yeah.
That to me feels like a very, like, you know, a dad revelation of like, well, it's the kids and the phones. Like,
right. You might as well ask them to cut their arm off at the elbow if you're not going to let them text.
Yeah, he got in trouble for that.
Yeah.
I mean, again, it's like, it's the kind of thing that a bunch of rich movie owners would say to each other when they thought no one was listening. And it's like, right. But like, the idea of having a more multimedia experience in a movie that's not necessarily there to be high art, that you don't need to listen to everything, like a big horror movie, like, you know, how much different would Piranha 3D have been if there would have been an app that went along with it where it would alert, you would tag in, like, you know, okay, four of us are going together. Here are our names. Here's the order in which we're sitting in. And it would text one of you to be like, all right, there's a huge scare coming up. Just hit this button. It'll automatically start recording. We know that Aaron is sitting right next to you. Like, here's this one big thing. And so you get, you know, a fun thing. And then that's a shareable moment. And it involves your phone being out. And it involves your screen being lit. But maybe it makes this the story or the experience all that much more fun. I think that there's a lot of cool ideas that you could do in a theater that are communal that involve your phone.
I agree. Even if you're just tweeting from there as your reactions happen, or you got some other app going, right, or whatever. Here, but what about this guy? There's a creepy guy in the back that's talking to nobody who's filming the whole thing with his phone, but that's cool because you're in the phone theater. Like, that's a little bootleggy, right? You can't have that happening there, rich guy in Vegas talking to your industry about your movie theater, right?
Well, that's a whole separate issue, though. I mean,
sure.
Yeah, number one, that's
texting section or not, that guy's going to do what he's doing.
Yeah.
And also, it's like, that's where we're at. Like even like die-hard, a BitTorrent, like, I pirate every movie. Like, even they pass up on the cell phone shaky cam recorded version of the movie.
Well,
right?
they're up there, though. Like, if you, okay, take a new, what's a new movie? Let's say Jungle Book, right? I'm going to go to Pirate Bay.
Listen, I'm not saying they're not there. I'm just saying that, like, really, who, if you are satiated by watching the shaky cam version of The Jungle Book, then I question how much you are ever really going to leave your house and go see The Jungle Book.
It's like, here it is. Right.
You weren't going to be spending money on that anyway.
My only point was, statistically speaking, the top seeds and leech numbers for the Jungle Book shaky cam are at the very top of the searches, like 7,349 seeds, 243 people.
Wait, and so these are definitely shaky cam. They're not like, versions, or yep. They're not people who sit up, who set up their cell phone like in the projector booth and shoot it. Somebody literally just.
Well,
it
could be somebody in the theater. You're right. It could be a higher quality sort of watch it while you go. But according to these, and some of the comments on here, they're like, yeah, this is some guy in his cell phone, or this is some guy in his camera, gotcha. Or whatever. I guess what I'm saying is there's a bleeding edge. I don't think there are that many people, but there's a bunch of them out there that are like, I'll take whatever I can get. Even if it's a Jungle Book, I'll get it on a shaky cam. And so I'm just saying, don't they open themselves up to, regardless of how severe or unsevere that is, they open themselves up to all kinds of issues from studios where they're like, well, all right, we don't like the idea of everyone having a camera in there, you know? Well,
you mean the same studios that are like trying to kill their business by putting out day and date release, digital versions of their movies?
Yeah, that's a good point. I guess they're not in this together.
That relationship has seen better days.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I don't know. You've kind of pulled me around. The main kicker for me was I didn't know they were separate. I thought they were talking about having them sitting right next to me, and it was just the way it was going to be.
Like, even if the idea of I personally don't know how much I would love it for, even the Avengers. But then again, those are the movies that they need to get people in on.
Yeah.
They need to get young people in on the big movies. You know,
are they having trouble doing that? It seems like that's the one area they're not having trouble doing.
I mean, listen, the numbers are people are going to see movies. People are spending a lot of money on movies, largely because they cost more. But the young people aren't.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you think it's like mostly like, okay, so when Civil War opens in a couple of weeks, it'll be not even that long, week and a half. It'll be mostly, parents with expendable income with their kids, and that's where the higher prices, that's where all
I mean, I think it'll be kids, but it's just not kids on the level. And it's also, kids aren't going to see other movies. Like, kids aren't going to see The Jungle Book. Kids aren't going to see Zootopia. Kids aren't going to see crappy blockbusters.
You mean while they're on there? You mean while they're out with their friends on their own, you mean? Right?
What?
Yeah, you mean they're not.
You heard that too?
They're not going out with it. What you're saying is they're not, hey guys, hop into my van and the four of us will go see Jungle Book together. That's not happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jungle Book is being seen by families, and if there are kids there, it's because they're with other parts of their family.
When I was a kid, I would steal money from the movies by going to see more. I just stay in the movie.
Oh, you just keep, stay in there.
Just hop from one room to another and yeah.
Flawless.
I'm still trying to figure out what that fart sound was. I can't get past it.
I said, people aren't going to see crappy blockbusters like Batman, Superman.
Oh, okay. I missed that part.
That was you making that fart noise.
Yeah, that was him, which I enjoyed a lot.
And that's why the media's doing my move.
There you go. That's one of famous sayings from Brian or from Justin. All right. Well, I think that solves that issue. I think it puts it to bed. And by the way, they backed off completely and don't want to do it now. And now
they're like, hey, guys, don't worry.
We realized that might have been a dumb thing to say.
Pretty early, an early version of the show, because I have to run to the bathroom. Oh. So I love you guys. Follow Justin R. Young. And
I bet he has to take a poop. I bet there's a poop going. That's what I'm thinking. There's emergency poop on the way.
He's already out. Wow.
Yeah,
geez,
he's
quick.
Gone. That was it. He had to go. He's like that jogger over here by the lake.
The jury's out.
All right. Well, that's okay, because I like to end on time. I'm all right with that. That's it for the show, everybody. Thank you for being here. I've got some great calls I'm going to play tomorrow, so come on back on Wednesday.
Oh, cool. Good.
I've been going through those finally, and there's some gems in there. There
did
is one.
Did you watch your movie, by the way, for recommendals? I know we didn't do it last week, so.
Maybe. Maybe not.
Oh.
Maybe I will tonight.
There you go. I watched mine. I'm excited to talk about it.
I don't remember what our rules were. It's been so long now.
It's a crime or punishment, and it has to last longer than 8 years, I think.
Okay. Like 12 years of slave type stuff.
Right. Yep.
Except that's not crime or it's punishment for sure.
Punishment, sure.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, I'm not watching that.
Okay, don't watch that. I don't even think it's streaming, so I don't know if you could.
Oh, I have a recommendation.
Okay.
People, listen. I know you probably use various sites for like tracking your streaming and stuff, like what movies are where and where can you get them and that sort of thing. The justwatchit.com website is a cord cutter's greatest pal. It is amazing. It lets you search through every possible service, subscription or otherwise, for anything that may exist. And it's a great way.
It's not justwatchit.com, though. What is it?
It's called justwatchit. Or no, justwatch.com. Sorry.
Justwatch.com.
Justwatch.com. And it's lets you filter. Like, the way I use it is I'll filter Netflix, Amazon Streaming, HBO Now, and Hulu Plus. Those are all the services I use as a cord cutter. Mm-hmm. So I'll narrow it down to just those if I'm looking for what I want to stream that's already out there, don't have to pay for. I can also include iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, Vudu, PlayStation View, whatever I want in those searches and get anything I would ever need. I'm finding things I had no idea were streaming on Netflix or Hulu that I'm totally jazzed about. Documentaries. You can also search.
Oh, this is great.
By rating. Like, you can say, I only want to see what's available on Netflix, and I only want to see stuff that ever reached as high as 90% on Rotten Tomatoes, and it'll give you that. Or 92 or 91 or 85 or whatever. It's super good. And it's always up to date, and I'm way impressed. And they just launched a mobile app as well. So
this is awesome. Holy cow. Yeah. I'm liking this a lot.
Can't recommend it enough. It's justwatch.com, so go use that. Okay. We're done. Patreon.com/TMS. Go help us out there. Help us live. Help us survive.
In this ever-changing landscape.
Yeah, the world's always changing. We're going to have a separate podcast listening room for kids with cell phones if we don't figure something out. That's patreon.com/TMS. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website for everything else. You can always email us, themorningstream@gmail.com. And as usual, voicemail can be sent to 801-471-0462. Follow Brian on Twitter at Coverville, me at Scott Johnson, and the show at Morning Stream. We also have a Reddit over at frogpants.reddit.com. All right, let's get out of here like we always do. It's tradition. Brian plays music. Blaze music.
Sure. Well, Tanner wrote in, said, hey, guys, so today's my birthday, or really any special day. I've been going through a lot in my personal life. Dealing with a tough breakup really sucks. Would you be able to play the May Day Parade cover of Somebody That I Used to Know? I believe the song is really fitting. Also, I would like to sincerely thank everyone in the Tadpool for being so supportive during this tough time. I love you all. Especially that caveman.
Oh, a caveman, no. Eh? Hold on.
Yeah.
Caveman.
A 60-ton dinosaur tamed by a small boy and a caveman.
That's the long version.
It's perfect. I love that version. Yeah. All right. So earlier I played that cover of You Might Think by Blue, and it changed the chords a little bit. You know, a couple places it changed the chords from minor into major keys. This one does it a lot more, and I think it talked about your changing the tone and the feeling of a song. This one does it in droves. This one comes from one of those Pop Goes Punk albums I talked about on Twitter yesterday, Punk Goes Pop, how it looks like they've stopped making those. A couple years ago, 2014, might have been the last Punk Goes Pop. However, there is a Punk Goes Country that came out earlier this year. So still making some, but the Punk Goes Pop, which it had like 7 volumes, I think is done. This is from Volume 5, which came out in 2012. It is Mayday Parade, covering Gautier's cover of Somebody That I Used to Know, featuring Vic Fuentes.
All right, here it is. We'll see you guys tomorrow. All the usual business on Wednesday, so come on back. Thanks for being here. Thanks, live chat room. Thank you, everyone. We'll see you then.
Then I think of when we were together, like when you said you felt so happy you could die. I told myself that you were right for me, but felt so lonely in your company. That was love and it's an ache I still remember. Addicted to a certain kind of sadness, like resignation till the end, always the end. So when we found that we could not make sense. might still be friends. But I'll admit that I was glad that it was over.
Is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
You not come here.
You not come here. Yum, 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 yum.